Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast by Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this episode, everything is low budget. We don't know what's happening. Brandon lives in boxes. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yes, right.
Nice,
this is
nice fade. Nice fade on the music. Beautiful.
Apathetic Enthusiasm. Yes, Apathetic Enthusiasm, your podcast for when we don't have anything to talk about on Rick and Morty, Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. That's right. Hey, Rick and Morty is coming out in just a couple weeks, a little over a month and a half.
Yeah.
June 20th. Let's talk about it. This is season five. This is a long, just kidding. We'll save that for Interdimensional RSS when we have other things to talk about on that show as well. I'm Brandon.
Yeah, he's Brandon. I'm Travis. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, if you're keeping up on our regular rotation here on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm, we probably should be recording in Interdimensional RSS, but we had really nothing to talk about there. So we're recording in Apathetic Enthusiasm. This is a podcast by us, about us, and the things that we are watching or not watching in the case of the Oscars. But we are going to talk about the Oscars tonight. We're also going to talk about MLB The Show by popular request out in the chat. But if you have a topic that you would like us to discuss, you can request those as well. Make sure to follow us over on Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Joe Gulmino. He is at Barnyard Cruise.
Barnyard Cruise.
You should make that a drop that you can just hit at random times and scare the crap out of me. Also, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram is apathetic_enthusiasm. And our website is apatheticenthusiasm.com. As I mentioned before, we are streaming live on Twitch as we do every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also catch episodes, video versions of the episode at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Finally, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can support the show and all of our endeavors. Thank you to all of the patrons for being so wonderful. And if you're watching in the chat, let us know that you're here. Let us know your thoughts on the topics as we discuss them. Brandon, as we alluded to in the intro, you are living amongst boxes. You are straddling a broken desk. How the heck is your version of podcast move 2021 going so far?
It's going all right. You know, you and I, we've both moved a handful of times already through the courses of our career, and you can attest to this. Every time you move, you learn a new tip or trick. Or what you like to do when you're moving. Sure. And this move, I feel, and maybe because this is the second move where I've had podcasting stuff, and this is like my first real office, first real time I had like a bunch of stuff in the background and all that. When I moved from Hawaii, moving all the Legos, I was like, okay, I'm going to wrap everything up and all the Legos are going to be in there in individual wrappings. That way, if anything breaks, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So I have that tip. Then I've got a massive amount of pops over the last 3-4 years. Put those in their own bins, you know, da, 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 da. And the movers, the packers, as you know, for us, they will come in and they'll pack everything. It doesn't have to be in any kind of order, right?
No.
Like the first
they
time,
just grab things, throw it in a box.
Right. Chelsea, the first time Chelsea and I moved, our house was probably a mess, and we didn't care what they threw in where. We're just like, cool, move us, right? Over time, we're like, well, we don't want them to. We want to organize a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Anyways, fast forward to now, because this is really boring moving shit. essentially,
welcome to Moving Chat with Brandon and Travis, a brand new podcast that talks nothing about nothing but moving.
It's so great. We want to move forward with the topics tonight. All I say is move. Like I spent a lot of time yesterday. The movers who are here today, I spent a lot of time yesterday, about 7 or 8 hours, just getting everything organized that I wanted to have put away, like original boxes for like TVs and monitors and electronics, right? At some point, I'm like, no, don't throw these boxes away anymore. When I move again, I can use the boxes to to know where they are.
I still got all my boxes. I will say in Travis's version of moving, I tried to mount my TV this weekend. And the TV mount that I got was the right size for the TV, but the wall that I tried to put it on, there's a stud right in the middle, and then 20 inches on either side are the next two studs.
Yeah.
So the mount will either go this way or this way, like one side or the other. But regardless, the amount of separation for the hooks on the back of the TV, there's no way to physically put the TV in the center of the space.
Oh,
so
there's no studs in the back there.
There's studs, but it, like the thing's too small, and so it's not long. So I had to order a second mount with a longer like mounting plate so I could hit the span of those studs and perfectly center my TV.
Why'd you do that? You don't have to do that. All you had to do is
don't,
drill.
Don't tell me what I don't have to do.
All you had to do was just drill, you know, a hole, put a stud back there.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. That was the obvious choice. That was the obvious choice. All right. Well, when we're not moving and not failing, what?
I need to throw this out there. You were talking about two studs.
Hey,
that's great. That's great.
Welcome to the only podcast with two studs. It sounds like every podcast that's out there.
Stud aesthetic and stud enthusiasm.
Speaking of studs, let's talk about the hit new game, Taking the World by Storm. That's right. It's based on America's favorite pastime. And no, we're not talking about basketball or football.
We're talking
about or soccer or NASCAR racing. We're talking about
Chippendales dancers. The hit new game coming to your Oculus Quest, Chippendales Experience.
Don't forget to use the promo code AEPOD to unlock the Chris Farley special dancer.
Woo! Their dongs are coming right at your face. It is so realistic.
Raise your hand in the chat if you remember the Chris Farley SNL sketch with Chris Farley as a Chippendales rehearsal.
And Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, yes. Yeah. Classic bit. All right, yeah, we're talking about MLB The Show. This is a video game available on consoles and potentially, I don't know, other things.
PC, probably, yeah. Right?
Probably, why not? Who knows? first, so tell me about why in the world you and I, of all people, would download and play MLB The Show on our Xboxes?
Why us of all people, you and I of all people, or start with me?
Let's start with you.
Okay, let's start with me. I've played baseball video games in my past. It's not something I'm proud of, right? There's things we've all done in our past that we're not proud of.
Sure.
Baseball video games are there's a handful of games that I like Baseball Stars in the arcade on the Neo Geo arcade, along with like King of Monsters and stuff like that. I play some Baseball Stars when I'm not playing Sunset Riders, which was a great like Western based shoot 'em up in the arcade game. Great game. I wonder where it doesn't matter.
I miss arcades. I mean, I know we're going to talk about MLB The Show, but man, I miss like arcades that aren't like ticket arcade games. Like You go to an arcade now and it's like, hey, throw the beanbag at the clown and get 50 tickets, right? Like, I miss, there was a
special place an arcade in your heart.
Oh. Down the street from where I grew up that it was all just straight up video games, quarters for most of the front, but then they had like a nickel arcade area where you could play all these other games for just like a nickel. And I'll tell you what, a roll of nickels, it'll last. And then they even had some like free games in the back. And as a kid, as a teenager, you could just go into that dark like room and just play video games and spread all kinds of viruses around. Man, it was great time. It was a great time. And now look at us sitting in our bedroom alone playing MLB The Show.
MLB The Show. Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with you about missing arcades, right? Like I was at Busch Gardens just a couple days ago, as a matter of fact, and there's a place for an arcade. But again, it's like ticket machines and like claw machines. And I'm all for a good claw machine.
Sure.
Who isn't all for a good claw machine? Because there's some... I don't care who you are. There is some skill involved with a claw machine.
To a degree.
It's not just the timing of it, right? But it's also knowing the angle, looking at which toy is there, right?
You have toy selection is paramount.
You have to find the weak ones. You have to be a predator when you're at a claw machine, right? You have to do that. It just is. Okay. Getting back into baseball. Okay. Baseball Stars. Ken Griffey. I played that like just with my.
Did you play some backyard baseball?
I never played backyard baseball.
My brother-in-law used to play that when he was a kid, and I just have vague memories of him playing that like every day after
so here we are now, 2021, and a couple months ago, actually, Matt, have a good day face here in the chat, he told me that he was pre-ordering MLB The Show, the Jackie Robinson edition, that like the $79 or $99 version, whatever. And I thought, cool, good for you, have fun, I'll never play that game with you. And then something strange happened. It came on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
And it's free. So I'm like, it's another game I could play with Matt eventually.
When you're done destroying him at Civ, then, you know, there's got to be something else you can do.
There's got to be something else. There's got to be something else to do. Before we get any further into that, what about you?
So I do this podcast, and there's this guy in the chat every week who's like, oh, you should really get MLB The Show. And I've got this friend, and he's like always like playing video games with his other friend on Xbox. And I was like, maybe I could get MLB The Show. Honestly, you know what really did it for me is it was free on Game Pass, and it was finally a baseball game that decided, you know what, we're going to feature maybe not the best team in baseball, but definitely like the one with the most heart, a team. and this game of all games has a San Diego Padres player on the cover. My favorite team, the Padres, because I love disappointment and I love heartache, and I grew up in San Diego. So, actually, surprisingly, like when I downloaded this game, really featured the Padres. Like, there's a bunch of like San Diego stuff going on and like the opening cutscenes, and I don't know. It was very surprising to me. Then I saw that it was like a developer from San Diego that actually developed the game. I was like, okay, well that makes a little bit more sense. Yes, they featured the Dodgers as well because they were the champions from from some other time. But it's not important. Nobody cares about that. But the important thing is I downloaded the game, I started playing, I put it on easy, and after an hour of dialing in how to actually play the game, I played my first game.
Did you play your entire first game?
I did. I played 9 innings.
Well, now are you playing Road to the Show or whatever it is, career mode?
It was like a quick play
exhibition.
It was a quick play. Sure. So I joke a little bit about an hour before I get into the actual game, but there are so many ways to fine tune your experience with the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Because obviously in baseball, as in every sport, you've got hitting, you've got pitching, you've got fielding, you've got base running, you've got other things. Yeah. What other things are in there?
You got coaching.
You got advancing the bases.
You've got commercial breaks.
Yeah, all of these things. Speaking of that, let's go to a quick commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. This episode brought to you by Topo Chico.
Topo Chico. mineral water that minerals you.
Try the dirty rock water with a twist of lime. Topo Chico. But yeah, so I spent a considerable amount of time deciding how I wanted to set up my controller for hitting. Did I want to do directional hitting? Did I want to pick the spot within the, what is it? The pitching box, hitting box,
uh-huh.
The strike zone.
Yeah.
Help me out, Matt. I don't know these terms. And by and large, I mostly picked the easiest way to play. I don't know. Did you make different choices?
Real quick aside here. I am so glad you brought up this aspect of the game, because I wanted to bring this aspect of the game up to you. And we're back in it. We're back in podcast mode here, Travis.
Can't wait for you to move next week and be all alone.
Simpatico. This is for our video watchers. This is how we do simpatico. It's just moving. Just moving.
You stop the minute I start. Perfect.
Control wise, yeah, that was one of the things that they did. I put it on beginner or whatever, amateur, whatever the easiest one is, and that's the first thing. Going to the batting, you could like use your thumbstick to bat. You can. I think you could just like press the thumbstick to bat, or maybe just hit A and it'll bat for you or something like that.
Yeah, like there was one where you actually have to like move the thumbstick into the area where you think the pitch is going and then swing. And Why would I do that? I'm already going to miss half of these pitches as it is. Why would I make it harder on myself?
That's so you can kind of, if you can guess where the pitcher is going to pitch the ball, then you're more likely to get a really good hit, right?
Sure.
This is an aside on batting, because I don't know the fine art of batting in baseball video games. I just know how to swing.
Yeah,
like whether or not you get a good hit on a ball or not, it's going to go up in the air. Maybe it gets caught and maybe it doesn't. Right?
That is baseball 101.
It might go up in the air and get caught. It might go up in the air and not get caught. Who knows?
Who knows?
Roll the dice.
100 years of sport based on that concept alone. Who's to say? That's the thrill of the game.
Yeah. Oh, the real allure.
I want to know about your pitching preferences, because you have several options for pitching. Mm-hmm. You can pick like a meter where it like you got to stop, like there's a line that goes on a meter and you got to stop in like the red zone, and then you got to stop in like the sweet spot, and then it'll pitch the ball. There's also one where you can like move the thumbstick in a unique configuration for a particular pitch. There are other ones that I clearly didn't choose or try out for myself. I ended up going with just with the little meter thing. I don't know. Were you the same way, or did you do something different? Did you like auto pitch? Did you just like hit a button and it pitches? I think that was an option.
It is an option, as a matter of fact. No, I chose the pulse option. And the pulse option is where it like it goes whoa whoa, it kind of like whoa whoa, and then like you want to try you press A as close to the whoa, a small circle as you can to get the most accurate.
So it's like
pitch.
Pokemon Go.
exactly right. Yeah, for our Pokemon Go fans out there. That's exactly, and so that's the one I picked. I don't know if that's the easiest one, like if that's like the real cheese mode one. I don't know.
I think just hitting the button, having it pitch for you, is probably the cheese modest one. But I will say with the meter, because I picked the meter, the rhythm of it is very different, and the different pitchers have very different speeds and timing for those meters. So I did appreciate that it added some challenge to it. But even when you're like way off the mark, you could still potentially throw a strike. So
yeah. Here's a question I have for you. It doesn't necessarily apply to MLB the Show, but baseball video games in general. One thing that I found playing this new game is I used to think that much more enjoyed batting. I used to think like I don't want to play outfield. I don't want to pitch. I want to bat. I want to hit the ball. That's what I want to play.
Just fire up home run derby mode and let's go to town.
Right.
I just want to crank them out to left field.
I want to hit the ball. I want it to go up in the air and I want it to get caught or not get caught. That's what I'm in this game for. Again, you know, just to reemphasize that last point. But what I found is I am actually okay with pitching a lot. Like I'm good with just the pitching. I'm
sure.
And I think I might prefer that nowadays. What about you? Like, what is your preference? Do you want to play position, like, you know, outfield or whatever, or do you want to bat? Do you prefer pitching?
I found in the total of one game that I've played so far in the show, fielding was not something I did the best at, and there was one unforced error because I hit A instead of B, and so it like defaulted to throw to home when he should have thrown to first base or something. Ended up getting some runners on base that resulted in a lead. So in my game, I played as the Padres. I was playing against the Dodgers. In the seventh inning, I blew my I think it was 3-2 lead, and then I was down 5-3 going into the ninth, and all because of poor fielding as well as bad pitching and mediocre hitting. But I will say that in that ninth inning, I was able to get some solid at bats, and the Padres came back in a miraculous fashion with a wild RBI driving in the winning run, and the Padres going home victorious 6-5. That's the best I can say about the game. Something like that, or it was like 4-5. I won by 1 point, and then immediately took a picture to show Brandon.
I don't think I looked at that picture.
That's fair.
I've been playing Road to the Show, Roadhouse, whatever it is.
It's Antiques Roadshow, I think it's
Antiques Roadshow. Yeah, I just go on the road and I'm selling baseball memorabilia.
Come get this Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card.
It is a very specific mode in this game, and I don't know what the developers were thinking. To be completely honest with you, I mean I think it's cool.
They've thought of everything, Brandon. They've thought of everything in the show.
The really shitty part is they've teamed up with the people who are doing the NFTs. Non-fungible tokens, and so now you can actually buy memorabilia in the Antiques Roadshow portion of MLB the Show for
$10,000 to own your own piece of history,
your own NFT in MLB the Show 20 Antiques Roadshow minigame.
It really is a game for the ages, let me tell you.
Ages, old people,
ageists. Okay, so you're doing Road to the Show.
Road to the Show, and you know it's okay. I've been doing a lot of pitching.
Do you play as one player in that, or do you still play as the whole team?
Yeah. So Chelsea and my son, they helped me make my player get his face as close to my face, and it's never really that great. But spent an hour doing that, and then you build up your stats over time. Robbie Askew, smart as 29 here in the Twitch chat, he made a joke that his player was at a 72 rating and is now at 99 since we started talking about MLB The Show, which, you know, I wouldn't doubt it, because that's all Robbie does is play that game. in rounding the bases, he was talking about how he just spent so much time playing that game. It's really just kind of disgusting.
Let me ask you a question, because as I've mentioned, I've played all of one game, nine total innings of MLB The Show. In Road to the Show, are there like cutscenes and cinematics that talk about the behind the scenes aspects of a Major League Baseball player's life and endorsement deals and having to like work with your agent to get drafted well and all these things?
Not cutscenes that I've seen, really. Just like little brief interludes where you get a couple pieces of dialogue and it's like, hey Brandon, you want to keep playing pitcher, or do you want to
keep playing baseball?
do you want to be a batter too?
Huh? How do you feel about this 1918 mahogany dresser?
And I was thinking, like, if you get up to the minor leagues, because you start off in a minor league team, like farm team.
Yeah, you're playing as the Oklahoma City Dodgers out in Bricktown or something crazy.
Yeah, actually, the Tulsa Drifters is who the team I'm on. It's a farm team for the Dodgers. Anyway, it's really weird. Like, if you get to that place in real life, and I'm not a baseball player, but if you get to that minor league way of life in real life, I doubt that you're going to get there and the coach is going to be like, okay, I know you've been playing pitcher all of your life. That's what we drafted you for. Do you want to change your position to something completely different now? Is that cool with you? I know that you perfected your skills here, but do you want to be shortstop?
How do you feel about shortstop?
So that's kind of like a weird kind of like dialogue bit in there. But anyways, yeah, good.
I would consider playing that game mode. It seems interesting. I didn't expect to like the career mode in NBA 2K as much as I did. I really enjoyed that when I played that game on Game Pass. So I could see some appeal in that. The other real draw for me would be playing with you guys and just getting completely destroyed. Because I'm not that good at it, but also who knows how good baseball is. Baseball even really a sport? You just hit the ball, it goes up, nobody knows what's going to happen with it.
No,
it's science, really. And so it's
Newton, he predicted this game way back in the day. He's like, what goes up must be baseball, what comes down might be apple, it might be a baseball. Can you catch it? I don't know. You're out.
Who knows? Nobody knows. And we'll never know. I will say this game is a lot more fun to play than watching an actual baseball game on television.
Yes.
And
do you want to talk about that briefly? That little aspect, because again, I don't really watch baseball. I'm not a fan of baseball. If I go to a game, I will enjoy going to the game, but I'll probably throw up in a planter after the game's over because I'm so drunk. So
that was like a hypothetical situation that felt like it was very real. Like that definitely has happened at least
in
once.
Alabama after a Montgomery's Biscuits game. You know, that's the kind of hypothetical that I'm talking about. But playing this game, I sat there for probably good 2 hours in between sessions of Outriders, where I was playing the show, and I was tempted to turn it back on again. And Saturday night, Matt and I, we were going to play video games because it's my last time to play video games for a while because of the move. And I said, do you want to play the show for a couple of innings? And I dread this, right? Because Matt is always, you're going to fall in love with baseball if only I bug you for 6 more days about it. And I never will. But, you know, I have been enjoying playing the game because it's interactive and I'm doing something. And I can, right, I can skip cutscenes and I can be like, no, just pitch the ball. Just hurry up and pitch the ball. So we played and it was fun. We played 2 innings and then I said only 2 innings. We got to the 3rd inning and then I started beating him to get him onto the bases. And then he won. Ah, luck me. Anyway, hey. but it is more interesting to me. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I love going to a baseball game. I enjoy watching baseball in person. But for some reason, when baseball is being aired on television, a lot of the allure just seems to fade for me. I'm not a super fan of any teams, mostly because, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up a Padres fan. So our traditional success was not really there. And like, I don't know, my dad watched baseball all the time. I would watch a game when he had it on. But for me, I feel like there's so much downtime in baseball that it just, I don't know. I understand there's a lot of skill to it. I understand that the back and forth between a pitcher and a batter and the delicate dance between the, you know, those moves. Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I just don't want to watch it on television.
Yeah.
So I don't. And that's not, I mean, if you love baseball, if that is your sport, if that is your thing, no hate towards you at all. It's just not for me. And honestly, I used to say the same thing about basketball. I didn't fully understand or appreciate the game, and so I wouldn't watch it on TV. And it wasn't until I really like started going to games a lot, almost 10 years ago now, that I really started to enjoy the game a lot more. And now because I'm a fan of a particular team, I would follow that team a lot more closely on television. So yeah, I don't know. It's
now
everybody's got their games.
Now as far as fair weather fans go, you are always a Padres fan.
Yeah, no, I am a dedicated fan that is dedicated to losing teams. No team that I've ever been a fan of has ever won their version of a championship. I grew up a Padres fan. I grew up a San Diego Chargers fan. Yes, they've moved to LA. I had a year where I did some soul searching and ended up staying a Chargers fan. So yes, it's those are teams that I those are my ride or die. But again, like, I don't follow baseball that closely. I'm sure if I was still in San Diego, I would be more up on what was happening with the Padres. Moved to Oklahoma City a long time ago. Thunder came to town, had a friend with season tickets. Shout out to Bob Carroll, the first sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah.
And
$50.
Yeah, that's right. And I would go to Thunder games just because it was a fun thing to go out and do. The team wasn't really great when they started here, but they started to become great very quickly. We had a lot of talent on the team. Kevin Durant, obviously, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, just huge names in the NBA now, all happen to be on the same team. So, excuse me, that's my one cough. And yeah, so I kind of fell in love with the sport. And that team came very close to winning a championship. It would have been the very first time any team that I supported had done so. But LeBron and his super team in Miami had other plans. So here I am again in a rebuilding year with another team that has a whole lot of draft picks, but not a whole lot of talent. And I feel right at home. I feel right at home with Oklahoma City Thunder, so far from a potential championship.
We're still talking about baseball, right?
MLB the Show. That's what we're talking about.
I got so lost there. Okay, yeah, he's talking about Thunder. Okay. This is gonna somehow change back into talking about baseball.
Time out. No, it's just about me and the despair that is involved with sports. I just want to shout out how confidently Matt said that the Padres will end up in second place in the NL West. Who won
Dodgers.
more games between the Dodgers and the Padres in that last series? I honestly don't know. I'm asking. So if you get us that information, that'd be great. Any other final thoughts? Oh, I did have one other thing I want to talk about with the show. But do you have anything else you want to talk about with the show?
I don't have anything else I want to talk about with the show. No.
Let's talk about the publisher real quick for this game, because when I fired it up, it was shocking to me that I saw a PlayStation logo.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is a PlayStation title that I was playing on my Xbox. Is that common? Am I just completely out of the loop, or is PlayStation making more games for Xbox? Or
that is not common. And actually, my longtime friend Omar out here, as Matt knows as Homar, I was talking to him about the show recently, and I was like, "Are you gonna get the show?" And he said, "No, I was going to, but then I found out fucking Xbox people are getting it for free with Game Pass."
I'm like, jerks.
And I'm like, "Why? What? You should get it, man. It's crossplay. You can play with your Xbox friends if you want to." Which is another cool thing, right? Like crossplay. I think we talked about this a couple years ago. There was like maybe like one or two things that were crossplay, and PlayStation was holding out at the time.
Yeah.
And now like Destiny, Outriders, the show, a lot more games are going straight to crossplay. That was kind of a side tangent, but no, it's not common for Sony PlayStation titles to be on Xbox. In fact, I couldn't tell you what other game has done that, except for like say a Final Fantasy, although you know that was mostly a Square thing. It wasn't a Sony thing.
Anyway, yeah, if you're on the Xbox and you want to feel like you have a PlayStation and you have Game Pass, go ahead and check out the show. That's it for the show. That segment brought to you by the last four games that the Padres played against the Dodgers, in which they won 3 out of 4. Anyway, moving on. That's just for Matt because the Padres.
Just so we're clear, when I have my Xbox back up again, you and I. No, I'm not going to play Matt or Robbie because they're both Dodgers fans. Yeah. but you and I, we will play a Padres versus Dodgers game.
Yeah, assuming the game is still available for free on Game Pass at that point. Because if it's not, I'm not buying.
Yeah, it. I mean, I'm not buying it either. We'll roll the dice, and then it'll be just like if we're trying to bat.
Dice. I'll get out a D20 and we'll see how it goes. Speaking of not paying for it, let's move on to our second topic of the night, and that, of course, is the Oscars.
The
Ladies
Oscars.
And gentlemen, it is the annual tradition. I think we've done this almost every year.
Yeah.
AE talks about the Oscars, our Oscar special, immediately following the show. So let's talk about the Oscars.
I don't have much to talk about the Oscars this year. As a matter of fact, we have not ever not covered the Oscars on this show. But what we have done is gotten progressively more lackadaisical about it. Like, I think last year we half-assed it, and we were on our laptops during recording, and be like, wait, who won? Which is very similar to what we would do tonight, but I don't want to do that tonight. I want to be even lazier with the Oscars topic.
Yeah, and I mean, last year, was there even an Oscars last year with COVID and everything? I don't remember when the award show was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I think it might have gotten canceled.
No.
You let me know. You go ahead and Google that up.
All right.
But I will say this, we have been living in a world for the last year where movies have helped sustain us. Movies What?
Yeah, no, there was an Oscars in 2020. That was when the best Oscar, the best picture went to Parasite.
That's right. And we talked all about it. And I was very engaged with that Oscars because I was really trying to watch a bunch of those movies. Yeah, I remember that. That's right. And I actually managed to watch like over half of the Best Picture nominees before like the award show. And then I caught, a large percentage. I will say this year we've had a lot of time to watch movies. But what we were not doing in this last year is going to the movies. And the AMC stock proves it. But I love movies, but there was a lot of movies I missed this year, if I'm just really being honest. And when it came around for the Oscars, it was like, what movies are being even awarded here? Yeah. I was not tracking on like any of them. I didn't even know the Oscars were happening until like a week ago.
That is the problem for this show for us, right? Because when we know that the Oscars are coming up, then we know who the nominees are, and then we're like, okay, it's going to happen on Sunday, April 25th. Let's go ahead and get prepared for the Oscars. Let's start watching, try to watch at least a handful of these movies before we get into it, right? Yesterday, Robbie and Matt recorded Rounding the Bases, and they were like, oh, you want to talk about Oscars tonight? And I was like, yeah, when are the Oscars? Like, it's happening right now as we're texting. Like, oh, what? The Oscars are tonight? I had no idea. I felt like the Oscars this year, there was like no advertisement. There was no echoing throughout the Twitter sphere or the Reddit sphere. Yeah. It was all of a sudden there.
It's like, oh, by the way, the Oscars are this week. Make sure to tune in Sunday night. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who's nominated again?
It's like Adult Swim with Rick and Morty stuff. You know, it's just like all of a sudden they're like, yeah, it's we're doing something on Friday. Oh, we're doing a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a new episode. You can watch it, I guess, or don't. Whatever. It's fine. It's the Oscars were kind of weird. You almost never actually watch the Oscars.
Right.
So
I think the only time I watched it in recent memory was when we were both in Hawaii still.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So over 5 years ago. But yeah, the Oscars, I like to watch the Oscars. I try to watch the ceremony. But it was a little different this year. Obviously in the wake of what has happened with COVID, there are a lot of events, there are a lot of things that have come back that they have found ways to mitigate risk. They have found ways to try and keep everyone safe in these events. And the same was true for the Oscars, but like it wasn't a masked event, which was something that I was kind of surprised by, that they weren't in masks, but there were other things that they did to try and minimize the risk without having to have everyone in masks. One of those is having less people there. They didn't pack out a giant arena or theater with lots of fans and other folks. They really just brought in like core groups of people, certain actors, a lot of the nominees themselves. Many nominees stayed at home and either joined via, you know, a video format or just straight up didn't attend. Anthony Hopkins it was a picture for his nomination. Like, it was more of like, I would say almost like a Golden Globes type setting where you had people at individual tables. They showed some people like having a meal or something. So it was a little bit more of like an intimate setting. Uh-huh. And there was no the individual host. Yeah. Lots of just really hot makeout sessions.
God.
People spitting.
Yeah.
Just spitting in each other's faces.
This is what I miss about pre-pandemic life, you know? And in those Hollywood elites just just spitting on each other, slathering each other up with their their saliva. Like, that is the Hollywood of yore that I really, really miss.
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, that's all fine and dandy. I saw a tweet earlier by Heather Campbell. She's on Whose Line Is Anyways. She's been a writer. She was a writer for Twilight Zone, the new Twilight Zone. But she follows me on Twitter randomly. Thank you, Heather, for following me on Twitter. I think it was maybe Variety or something, they tweeted like that the Best Picture winner was the lowest grossing Best Picture winner in decades. And I've
never even heard of this movie.
And oh, Nomadland, right?
Yeah.
And Heather Campbell says it's because the fucking theaters were closed. Nobody went to the fucking movies, you idiot.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's like, yeah, of course no one's gonna make money off their movies. Like,
probably could be said for every nominated Best Picture. Let's play a quick game. Did you know about this movie prior to the Oscars? This is a lightning round.
Okay,
we're gonna go just a simple yes or no. I will say the name of the movie. You let me know if you've heard of it. Nomadland.
Yes.
Okay. The Father.
No.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yes.
Mank.
Yes. It's on Netflix.
Minari.
No.
Promising Young Woman.
No.
Sound of Metal.
Yes.
The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yes.
That's good. I think that's over half. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've heard of most.
How many of those have you seen?
Zero. Zero. I wanted to see the Chicago 7 because that has
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was on Netflix. So that would have been easy to do. Mank with Gary Oldman. That was on Netflix as well. Is that the
same movie?
Yeah, that was about the writing of Orson Welles' Citizen Kane.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
Sound of Metal. I want to see Sound of Metal. Chelsea really wants to see it. I thought it was a documentary actually before I realized that it was not.
Yeah.
Nomadland, don't know anything about it. Jesus and the Black Messiah? Is that what?
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Is that Daniel Kaluuya in that? Or is that, I don't want to be like the reporter that confused, Daniel Kaluuya with,
It is. Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya. Yeah, from Get Out. Yeah.
So
most part I've heard of them. How about you? Did you know about, have you heard of those?
I mean, Promising Young Woman, I had heard of, I'd seen trailers for it. I saw Carey Mulligan, host SNL.
Oh yeah. And so,
loosely familiar with that movie. Judas and the Black Messiah, I'd seen trailers for, Trial of Chicago 7, again, pretty much only knew from like Sacha Baron Cohen's doing some press for it. But the reality, like, no, most of these I had not heard of nor seen. This is the first time in recent memory where I have not seen a single one of the Best Picture nominees, which I feel like, well, hey, like, they're Best Picture nominees. I should go out. I should seek out some of these movies. And maybe I will. Maybe I will go watch some of these. But I feel bad because I don't have any sort of bias or opinion on who won, because I really didn't see any of these movies.
But you want to talk about bias in people winning, though. The controversy that I had seen on Twitter, right? Admittedly, it was a Twitter controversy, sure. But that I tend to agree with. Is for the best actor category, right? I was going to say Dennis Hopper. No, not Dennis Hopper.
Anthony
Hopkins won for best actor, right? For The Father, I think, maybe.
Yep, that's correct. He was up against Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal, Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Gary Oldman in Mank, and Steven Yeun for Minari.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, Steven Yeun. Glenn from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So the controversy there, right, is Chadwick Boseman, who we all know died of cancer last year. Very, 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 very unfortunate. Very young. Very young. Very talented. Going up for best actor. It was almost, he was almost primed that he should have won, right? Like Heath Ledger won for the Joker after his dying, like posthumously. And so Anthony Hopkins winning his Oscar, oldest Oscar winner for best actor over Chadwick Boseman, it seemed like a weird insult a little bit, or maybe not insult, but just tone deaf just a little bit. I saw Alex Fear, who wrote for the Rick and Morty comic, who hit new Rick and Morty comic coming out, Rick's New Hat. He tweeted, like, why even put him in the category? Why give him something posthumously if you're just a nomination, and if you're just going to take it away? Why don't you honor him posthumously rather than that? It's a weird energy to be like, hey, this guy died. Yeah, woo, let's celebrate. So sorry you lost to Anthony Hopkins.
All right. I mean, I don't think like Chadwick's worried about it. But I honestly, like, we celebrate film and we celebrate actors and different talents in the Oscars, but at the end of the day, it's also kind of a ridiculous thing, right, that we're doing. And I mean, this is art. We're celebrating art. I again did not see The Father or Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, so I can't speak to their performances. I would love for Chadwick Boseman to be honored with an Oscar, because I thought he was a great actor and a great person. And I think it is a little bit of like a half measure, right, to nominate him but not go ahead. But then again, who's in the Academy, who's doing the voting, and how are they making their decision?
And we know that the way the Academy voting, there's lots of politicking for votes, and there are politics in the voting for best picture, best actor, best actress, so on and so forth, best supporting. And so it is infinitely strange to me that they would kind of like half-ass this and put him forth and then not recognize him. Speaking of not recognizing, I didn't see the In Memoriam, but I heard that the In Memoriam was just kind of like really like, it was almost like exaggeration, like fast forward, like yakety sax. Somebody said like the music was like really upbeat for an In Memoriam segment.
I will admit I missed that segment because I was watching with an over-air antenna, and the antenna got all like wonky at that part, and I was like trying to like fix it, and so I like missed half of it. But
R.I.P. In Memoriam segment.
Yeah, what a year to do one of those. No thanks. I don't know. There were some cool standouts. Actress in a supporting role winner. I'm gonna butcher this name. I apologize. Yu Jung Yawen for Minari. She is an older woman who she's Korean. She was so genuine in her acceptance speech, and so just like happy to be there, and talked about how her son had encouraged her to like go out and work and take on the role. And so that was just That was a fun moment when she was up against, you know, actresses like Glenn Close. And,
yeah.
You know, it's really cool to see that. And
who won? What film won for best animated feature?
That honor went to animated feature went to Soul, the Pixar film.
I've not seen it.
It's pretty good.
Chelsea,
I recommend
Chelsea
it.
Chelsea watched it without me. And
we talked about this. We talked about it. Other nominees in that category included Onward, which I thought was interesting, but that not does, like
that doesn't seem like that move. That yeah. move, Onward was not that great.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
Over the Moon. I love how a Shaun of the Sheep movie, Farmageddon, somehow ends up an Oscar contender. And then Wolfwalkers, which was an Apple original production on Apple TV Plus.
Raya and the Last Dragon wasn't it didn't come out early enough.
I mean, that movie came out this year, so maybe it wasn't available for Oscar voting. I'm not sure. Huh. That is a movie I still haven't seen.
It's okay. I know a lot of people like it. A lot of people love it. In fact, but I gotta tell you, I am not an Awkwafina fan. Her voice is very, very grating to me. Her voice is. People complain about vocal fry in podcasting. You know what vocal fry is,
right.
Like, do a lot of this, right? I feel like Awkwafina is my vocal fry of the movie world. I liked her well enough in that Jumanji sequel, right?
Sure.
But I don't really like her. Chelsea loves her, but she's in the new not. The Quan Chi film? Shang-Chi? Oh,
yeah. We shifted to Marvel very
quickly.
Anyway, so I don't know. There was no host. There were some interesting bits. Harrison Ford came out and talked about all of the editorial notes that Blade Runner got before introducing the best editing category. I don't know. I thought that was interesting to consider all of the notes that go. What? Oh, you look shocked and amazed.
No, speaking of, I know we're talking about the Oscars, but you mentioned Blade Runner, directed by Ridley Scott, the great Ridley Scott. Today we were recording this Monday, April 26th, 4/26. Well, guess what? 4/26 is Alien Day. Because the planet they went to, LV-426, and they discovered the first xenomorph, today is the day, 4/26. Happy Alien Day to one and all. Go out there.
I don't have any of my alien memorabilia or toys out.
I do.
Do you? Oh, Travis does. He does have some alien memorabilia here.
There we go. Let's get the. Oh, he's kind of broken.
Oh but, no.
There we go. There's a little xenomorph guy.
Aw. Hey, there we go. You're fancier than me.
That one just happened to be in a box that was already opened. So
that's great. That's great.
Anyway, yeah. Happy Alien Day. Happy post Oscars Day. I'm gonna go out and watch these movies. If you're listening to this, if you have seen any of these movies that you would particularly recommend that I check out first or that Brandon should watch at all, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter or send us an email. Let us know which movies you would recommend from the Oscars. If you had any thoughts about the award ceremony, what they should or shouldn't have done, any of that stuff. You know, let us know your comments. Let us know what you think.
Let us know. And just to reiterate, I'm at Barnyard Cruise. You can hit me up directly. Travis is over at Jugglemino, or we share a Twitter account, Apathusiast. Send us a tweet there if you are motivated
if you dare.
If you
dare.
And if you like vocal fry, just let me know.
Make sure to stick around for the vocal fry post show, only available on Twitch. Which is where we're going right now. We are going to end this audio version of the podcast, but if you want to stick around for even more fun, make sure you're here on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's like six Western. let us know, you left coasters. We're gonna hang out. We're gonna chat with the folks that are watching live, and keep the good times rolling. So thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. And then thank you so much for hanging out.
All right, everybody.
Bow, 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 oh, yeah.
We don't have any music. Bow, bow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.